Thank you for that offertory this morning. Question, does anybody recognize the name? I know we didn't have it in the bulletin, so you can't look there. We didn't get that in time to put there.
Lord, I need you.
And good words to it as well. But if you didn't know that, I'm not sure. Do we have that in our hymnal? I'm going to say you could look it up in the hymnal, but I'm not sure if we have that in there or not. We do. I'm seeing nods. So, Lord, I need you. And you can read the words to that hymn that was played this morning. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we will finish our look at walking as believers to this morning. As we come to Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 through 17 to get our text, and we'll find it used three times within our passage to be walking. And so let's look at those this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 17, as Paul is moving into the practical section of this epistle to the Ephesians. He's been there in chapters 4, 5, and 6, or the practical side, and the putting to practice, putting into practicality the doctrine, the teachings that he had in the first half. But he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." That word followers, we get our English word mimic from the Greek word that's underneath it. We just kind of transliterate the word, the letters, and mimic would be our word to follow, to mimic, to imitate. But be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Our children are known to mimic us, do they not? I know I had as a child. May we mimic God, follow him. It says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had to be in thy house this morning, the opportunity to lift up our voices in worship and adoration, to praise you, to thank you for who you are and what you have done in our lives, for the salvation that we have in Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you for the new life that has been imparted to us, a life that will last forever, a life that we will find ourselves in your presence one day. And we thank you for that, and we thank you for the assurance that you give to us in this life. We pray now that as we look into thy word, truly, Father, may our hearts be attentive. May we be open vessels, ready for you to take the word and pour it into our hearts and lives, to change us as believers into the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to chip away, as it were, at the rock, to get rid of that which is not Christ-like, so that Christ may shine brightly through us. Father, do that work as only you can. For that soul that may be lost, may they be drawn unto thee this morning. That they would know the forgiveness of sin. And Father, have that trust in Jesus Christ. Do that work that only you can. And truly, may we thank you and rejoice with you as we leave this place later. In Jesus' name, amen. How are you walking? It's been a kind of a question we've been presenting to ourselves for the last previous 3 weeks. But I encourage us, you know, how are we walking? In this practical section of the epistles to the Ephesians, Paul uses this word walk to make application of the doctrinal. Walk. 6 times in this epistle, Paul says to walk. You find it in verse 10 of chapter 2. Chapter 4, you find it in verse 1 and verse 17. And then here in chapter 5, we've read it in verse 2, verse 8, and 15. In this passage, we'll look at those three last uses. They're presented to us as a twofold command to walk, and then a command to look where we're walking. And I think it's important to catch that last one. We can walk, can we not? But we need to watch where we're walking. There might be some pitfalls along the way. And so it is good to walk. It's even better to look where we're walking. How many times have we possibly said that to our children when they were much younger? Look, and it's usually after they have stumbled and fell. And we remind them, look where you're walking. Well, that's a little late at that point that we should have said that and encouraged them before we got there. And we've all had those stumbles and falls. Somebody could say that of me a couple years ago. I fell and fractured an ankle. Now, I was looking where I was walking. It's just in that clump of grass, there was something there that I didn't see that my boot found and rolled me. And I landed on my side. I heard a snap as I went down, and it wasn't a twig that I stepped on. And that snap is still very vivid in my mind. And I ended up, found out that I had fractured my ankle. And but I was back on my feet within a short time. No cast, just a walking boot for a while. But you know, I looked where I was walking. But there was something in there that I didn't see that caused me to fall and to twist my ankle and snap it, and down we go. But he encourages us to walk, so I won't get to our last point yet, but he tells us we need to watch where we're walking. But he tells us in verse 2, first of all, to walk in love. We talked about this with the Ephesian church. You know, they were told that they had lost their first love. In Revelation chapter 2, as you come to the end of the first century. And here we have Paul reminding them several decades prior to that, walk in love. It says, as verse 1 notes, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as your children. Mimic God, if you will. Follow him. God has a path laid out for us. And specifically, Christ has walked that path for us. As Peter will remind us, follow his steps. But he knows, as dear children, I mean, those of us that have had children, those of us that do have children that are younger, it is interesting how they tend to mimic us. They may follow us and to try to do what you're doing. I mean, I have a picture that my mom took of Dad sitting down. He's laying down in our living room in California, and his feet are toward the television screen, and he's laying there, and right beside him is his son. And I'm laying exactly like he is laying. And Dad will tell the story, if he were here, if he crossed his arms, guess what? His son would cross his arms. If he crossed his feet, I'd cross my feet. Everything is identical except for one thing. He has a lighter sitting on his stomach. I don't. That's the only thing different in the picture if you were to see that. But he reminded me I was mimicking him. I was following him. Whatever dad did, I did. And mom picked up on that, snapped a picture of it for posterity's sake, I guess. And I am reminded of that. We follow our parents. We watch them. They have an impact on us, particularly when we're smaller. And I would even say as we get to be adults, we still follow our parents. It's a joy to have one of my parents still alive out of the four that we have amongst us, and to fellowship with him, to know him. I realize those days are going to come when I may not. But he tells us to follow and walk in love. Walk in love. He notes, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. It is exampled in God's love to us through his Son. That's how we can walk in love. Because we have a Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Was the sacrifice, our substitute. He has laid down the pattern for how we are to love and to walk in love. That is why Christ is getting after, as you will, rebuking this church these many decades later in the book of Revelation, because they had walked away from that love. But he tells us to walk in it. It is a proof of faith. When we look in the scriptures, John chapter 13, verse 35, as Christ is speaking to his disciples, his followers, he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now John, the disciple of love, he's often been called that. He talks about love much in his epistle, in his gospels, or in his gospel and in his epistles, but he notes this from Christ. By this shall all men know you, that you're my disciples, that you're my followers, that you have love one for another. Now we touched a little bit on this as we looked at the first part of Acts last Sunday evening. But when you look at the Gospels and you look at the disciples, those 12 apostles, they weren't catching to this yet, to love one another. When you see them gathered and there's a conversation that pops up in the narrative, they're usually jockeying for position amongst themselves. Who's the greatest? There is constant seemingly bickering amongst themselves. Not exactly a display of love. But Christ here in the midst of all that is reminding them, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you're a follower of me. When they see evidence in your life that there is love one to another. Which would beg the question for us, folks. It's a proof of our discipleship. Does the town of McPherson know us because of the love we have one for another? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Do they know that we're a follower of Christ because we love one another within our congregation? I trust that we do. I sense that we do. I've seen a few of you in town. We've crossed paths. There's a friendship there. It's not like, oh, that's Pastor. You know, fortunately, most of the time, some people don't know Pastor when he's out in the community. Because this is what you see. But this is not necessarily what I wear when I'm out in the community. Pastors are often incognito. I had one lady say, yeah, I didn't recognize you. You had a cowboy hat on. It was a day that was kind of rainy a while back. And I said, yeah, it's my umbrella. But she didn't recognize me because I had the straw cowboy hat on. I've had others not recognize because I wasn't in a suit. I talked to a lady in Costco several years ago when we were back in Washington. Came up to her. She was nice. She was talking to me. Then her husband walked up and said, "Oh, hi, Pastor." And she said, "I didn't recognize you." Yeah, I had a cowboy hat on. I was wearing a pair of jeans, and I wasn't in a suit and tie. And she just was being nice to the stranger that was talking to her in Costco until she figured out that it was Pastor. So, you know, I can get you without necessarily knowing that it's Pastor coming, because I'm not dressed like this, so I may not be recognizable out in the mud. But, you know, we do see each other. And I trust that it is a joy to meet each other when we're away from this place, to demonstrate love to one another. Because we do have a world looking. They watch. They know. I'm always amazed at how much the world knows what goes on in a church, even though they never darken the doorsteps. And I trust that it is, unfortunately, it's usually the bad things that they all know about. But may they know about the good things. May they know of the love that we have one to another. It's a proof of our faith that we're living for Him. It's a proof of the new life. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we have been saved." How? Because we love the brethren. Because we love our fellow believers in Christ. It's been given to us because we have the love of God in us. And He imparts it so that we can love each other. He continues there, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." John is a great epistle to read about our Christian walk, our Christian life. The apostle of love is not a wishy-washy, sentimental kind of love. I mean, he's rather bleak and stark right there, is he not? "And we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Rather plain. If we're not demonstrating love to brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to stop and examine ourselves. Do I know Christ as my Savior truly? Doesn't mean that we won't have problems. Interpersonal relationship strains, those are there, but love needs to conquer those. And love can conquer those. Because that's a brother or sister for whom Christ died. And we can work through those. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 notes the proof of the Holy Spirit within. It says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." And what a joy to do that. I mean, as a pastor, you come across all sorts of people. And sometimes we're not all lovely and lovable, but we're to love each other. And I can think of people that have come through the churches that I have been pastored of, and I still have love for them. They've caused pain, but there's still a love for them. There's someone for whom Christ died. There's someone for whom God brought me to minister to as their pastor. And so we can continue to love them, even when they are seemingly, on a human standpoint, unlovable. Because it's not my love that we give. It's God's love. And God's love is an unconditional love. He didn't condition His love on us to anything. He loves us, period. He cares about us. He puts it into action by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place for our sins when we were enemies against Him. And we have that example to then live by and see expressed out in our lives. You say, it is hard. Yes, it is. The Christian life is not an easy thing. And so may we not try to do it in our own strength, but in God's strength, because He's the one that lives it out in us. Which brings us back to what I did earlier. We need our nose in this book. Say, Pastor, I struggle with some of that love. Yes, we all do. And God's Word will help us. By the passages that we've just read and others, God can use that to work in our hearts so that we do become loving to those that are unlovable. I mean, it's easy to love somebody that loves us. Christ speaks about that. I mean, you do good things for good people. What's that? I mean, that's normal. How about doing it for your enemy? Oh, I'm not so sure. Well, that's where it needs to be expressed. We work through those things. And it affects us in a good way because it gives us a greater concern for others to walk in love. It gives us a greater kindness in speaking and acting. We don't see that fleshly side come out because we're relying on God and His Spirit to use His Word. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Verse 8. We move to the second one that He gives to us. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. And he notes, he says, for ye were sometimes darkness. He's referring to our lost state. Before we came to Christ, we were in darkness. A lost person doesn't have the light of the Lord. And we all were there, walking in darkness, groping about, wondering what to do, how to get, hoping. But the wondrous light of salvation shined in our hearts, and we trusted Christ. And as we look at this, this walking as children of light kind of starts at verse 3 and goes all the way to verse 14, covering this area and kind of sandwiched in the middle of it is walk as children of light. We see the darkness much from verse 3 on down. That's what darkness is. And we move on beyond verse 8 and we see what the light is. But we have that contrast recorded for us often throughout the Scriptures, the light and darkness of the Bible. The light speaks of God and righteousness. The darkness speaks of Satan and all that's evil. And we see that distinction. And again, it's those illustrations that God gives to us in His Word to help us understand. We all understand light and darkness. What is darkness? It's simply the absence of light. There's degrees of light. There really is no degrees of darkness. Darkness is simply the absence of light. We turn all the lights off and close the doors, we would have darkness. We'd have a hard time finding our ways until possibly our eyes adjusted enough to any light that's being filtered in order to see our ways around. I don't think any of us like to walk around in a dark room, do we? Especially if it's full of furniture that we now don't know where it's at. We stumble around in darkness. That's what we were before we trusted Christ. Oh, we think we knew what was going on, but we don't. But he says, you were sometimes darkness. He says, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians, Wheatland Baptist Church, we were in darkness. But since we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we're children of light now. Walk as children of light. God is here. God is amongst us. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, he notes, he says, "In that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And again, over and over again, other places, he notes that distinction of light and darkness. The old life, darkness. The new life, light. But he notes that there's still that struggle there. That old sin nature we still have with us. That which is in darkness. And it wants to invade and take over because it once ruled. But God says, no, walk in light. A purposeful thing, an intentional thing. Walk as children of light. When we look at our text, we see what is in the darkness. Again, verses 3 and following. "Let these things not be named once among you, neither foolishness, nor neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient." And these are speaking of you know, just bad talking. Obscenities for filthiness. Foolish talking is literally moronic talking. Jesting, those things that are fit and proper. Things that just not ought to be there in our vocabularies. The things that we used to have when we were lost. I was talking with someone, what was it, last week or Wednesday, we were talking about our old lives and the speech that wasn't pleasing. And I didn't do it around mom and dad. As we were talking, I said, yes, my mom was literally of the old school. She heard a bad word out of her children. Their mouths were washed out with soap. I saw it exemplified. I shouldn't say I saw it. I know my sister experienced it. I didn't see it because it was behind closed doors in the bathroom. But I heard it. And I knew enough to know that while I may be a lost person, I didn't do those kinds of speeches around my parents. But when I was saved, the vocabulary changed. I was no longer walking in darkness, but I was walking in light. He lays that out for us here. He continues in verse 5. You know, whoremongers, unclean persons, covetous, idolaters. And he contrasts that with us. For the fruit of the Spirit, verse 9, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And we find that in the Word of God. What a joy to know that. And we find that that is acceptable to the Lord. Testing it. Is this acceptable to the Lord? Do we stop our speeches? Do we stop our talks, our conversations, and preface it with, is this going to be acceptable to the Lord? Is this going to pass muster with Him? Or is it going to feed my flesh? Sometimes we may need to bite our tongues. Maybe literally, but hopefully figuratively. And say, you know what? This is not the time or the place. I'll refrain until I can get that right type of conversation to come out. But we're to walk in light. Christ is that source of light, as we've seen. John chapter 1, the genealogy, the founding, the coming of Christ that John puts forth. It's not exactly like Matthew or Luke, who gives us a genealogy that lays out where the heritage that Christ has through the flesh. He gives us his nativity in a different way. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Again, John lays out that distinction. Christ is the light, and he came to give men life, and life more abundantly. As he will continue on with that thought, if you were, in those opening verses of John chapter 1. Later on in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are we walking in that light? Christ is that light. He's laid it forth. He is the light of the world. In Psalm 119, two verses that remind us, we find that light in his word, ultimately. As we see John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We find God's light, Christ's life, light, in this book that's in our laps. Which brings me back again, is our nose in this book? We want the light, we find it here. Because here we find Christ. The psalmist in 119 verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We want to know the path to walk, the way to go. We need the book to light the way. He doesn't show us what's way down the road. He gives us light for what we need in front of us. Enough so that we can honestly, cheerfully, properly take the next step forward. And then the next step forward. And the next step forward. So we can get to that point that we may be wanting to get to, but we don't know what's out there. God's light will lead us that way. Verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The older I get, the more I realize I'm under that simple stuff. And God's word gives us that understanding. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It's a joy to open up this book and read it and have the light turn on, the proverbial light bulb. As we read passages, we've read them before, but now there's something about it that God uses in our hearts. And the light comes on. And it's shed abroad in us, and we rejoice and joy in that, and it allows us to move forward and grow. And then lastly, verse 15, he tells us to walk circumspectly. Again, these first two are commands. Walk. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Now you're walking, but do it circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We need to be looking around. The word see means that, to see, to discern. To open our eyes, as it were. To look. Circumspectly. It means with exactness or carefully. We put it this way. I don't know who came up with this illustration, but I like it. It's like a cat on a picket fence with a bulldog on both sides. He's going to pick his spots carefully as he walks that fence. Because he knows a misstep brings him to one of those bulldogs. And so that cat is going to watch and be careful where it's walking. Walk circumspectly. Let's watch with our eyes open, walking and being alert to what's going on. The world has its allurements that want us to pull away from the walk that we have in the light towards our God. It's on both sides. And it would love to draw us back into those old ways. But we walk circumspectly. God's given us the light for the path. Let's follow that path that He's laid out for us. Because if we don't, we have pitfalls on either side. Much like any road, pretty much throughout the United States, there are ditches on either side, are there not, typically? We don't want to be in those ditches. So we keep our eyes on the road. Make sure that we keep it between those lines. We stay up where we need to be. God gives us that same thing, to walk circumspectly, walk with our eyes open. And you stop to consider that as we walk with our eyes open, walking in love, walking as children of light, we're going to see the needs of others, are we not? We're going to be able to demonstrate that love that we're to be walking in. We'll see God's will for our lives. We'll see the signs of the times that He tells us that are out there, to be watchful and mindful, to be looking up because our redemption draws nigh. It's coming. It's near. But it also causes us to realize that the time is short. We see the seriousness, as it were, of the situation as he continues in verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What a joy to see that accomplished in our lives. And ultimately it starts by opening up this book. And much again like the psalmist, 119 verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. A prayer of ours that we can have every time we open this book. God, open mine eyes so that I can behold the wondrous things that you have here. And he does. And so may we take that time to read it, to know it, to have it draw deep into our hearts where God can change us, to form Christ in us that he is trying to do since the day that we trusted Christ as our Savior. And it allows us to walk the way that he would have us to walk, bringing honor and glory ultimately to him, and brings us to that desired destination of heaven one day. Again, I'm reminded of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. It's been on my mind a lot. I need to pull it out and start reading it again. But you know, a great story about the Christian life and the pitfalls, the problems that are out there that want to drive Christian off that road that takes him to the celestial city, heaven. And John Bunyan is writing about the things that are out there in the world that can draw us away so easily. And the things that God uses to bring us back into the right path, into the right way, so that we can reach our desired destination truly with joy, with comfort, with strength, and with no regrets. Too oftentimes, we can become careless in our conduct. Can we not? Oh, I know it. I've got this. And we're going in our own strength. May we not. May we keep our eyes on Christ. May we keep our nose in this book. May we allow the light of it to show us the way that you'd have us to go. His way is far better than anything we can devise, because His way is perfect. And it'll bring the most joy and satisfaction we could ever have to walk in love, to walk as children of light, to walk circumspectly. Again, we have an adversary that wants to sidetrack us, get us off that road, have us sink like Peter on the Sea of Galilee. As Christ has bid him come to him on the water, Peter's fine until he looks at the world around him. When he sees the waves and the winds boisterous, he starts to sink. Why is that? Because he's not looking at the Lord who called him to come out. And his faith falters. And he starts to sink. But Christ didn't let him drown. Christ won't let us drown. He's there for us. His hand is stretched out, and he's ready to bring us back. Always. Always. He's there for us. Maybe we have strayed this morning. You would say, Pastor, I'm not... I know I'm not where I ought to be. My walk has faltered. I've been pulled in a different direction. God's there to help you come back. Just cry out to Him. Ask Him. His hand's there. He'll bring you back. Let's pray. Father, we come to Thee. We do thank You for Thy Word. Father, as believers, we do thank You, I trust, for the walk that we have in Christ, this Christian life that we are seeing lived out day by day. Father, we may be at times flustered that we're not seemingly farther along than what we think we should be. And so we want to try to rush ahead in our own strength, and we tend to stumble and fall. But Father, You're there to pick us up, and we thank You for that. You're there to guide us, to teach us, and You will. I do ask that our hearts and minds are attentive, Father, that You are at work this morning with Your Word in our hearts. For that one that is here that is looking at this and considering that I'm not necessarily walking in the love that Christ talks about, that God talks about here in His Word. I've kind of strayed from the light. Father, may they confess those things to You and ask for Your grace and strength and mercy. Father, You'll bring them back. May they take those steps to follow You. Father, we who are, may we not have a high and holy thought. We're not better than anyone else. We all have had our pitfalls. We've all had our moments where we have strayed. And You in Your love and mercy have called us back too. You remind us elsewhere to walk humbly. For Father, it's Your walk that is being accomplished, not ours. This love that is demonstrated is not ours, it's Yours. This life is Yours, not ours. And in this life, we're to glorify You. And so, Father, I pray that we who are, Father, may we rejoice that we are demonstrating Your love to a lost and dying world. Demonstrating Thy love to our fellow brethren. because the world is watching. And may we see the lost come to you because of the relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ, one built on love. Father, we pray that we would go forth as children of light, walking in love, walking circumspectly, and ultimately knowing that brings honor and glory to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anyone that would say, Pastor, pray for me. God's working in my heart about my walk with Him. Thank you. What a joy to be able to walk. Thank you. May we do so in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our ways when we do His sweet will. It's trusting and obeying. He'll lead us out the right way. Father, we pray that as we close, may you be at work as you are. And truly, Father, may we go forth rejoicing because you are at work in our hearts, drawing us closer to you and seeing your love demonstrated in us and through us. Bless the time that we have coming up yet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.